Welcome to Calvary Chapel, Wichita. May God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Well, hello, everybody. If you're new here, I'm not Bob Martin. Pastor Bob has gone to Texas and for a little bit of R&R. He was telling me the other day that they were really praising him because he brought the rain down there when he went down there, and then when he comes back, it's scheduled to be nice weather here, so he'll be bringing the nice weather back with him, so he's just going to be really into the weather this time. So let's just lift him up as he's down there and he's going to be coming back. So Father, we just want to come before you tonight. We just want to lift our pastor up to you, that you would just help him to get some rest, that you would bring him back to us all safe and sound. And yes, Lord, that he would bring back some sunshine and some warmer weather. And Lord, we'll just lift this up to you, and we'll just give you all the glory and honor for it, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, last week I was wondering what I was going to talk about tonight, and I was at work, and I was praying that the Lord would give me something, give me a word or something like that, and it was a bad day, and we've had there's just been a lot of pressure at work, and it was just a bad day. Me and the boss got all sideways with each other, and he's a brother, and so he's a good guy, and we talked later and got everything all, you know, squared away. But I still was thinking that I shouldn't have done that, that I shouldn't have said what I said and everything. And I got to thinking about it, and I think I got into some condemnation about it because of the fact that everywhere I go, I need to try to reflect the love of Jesus Christ, the love of the Lord. And I fail at that often. And later on in the day, and I'm really glad it was later on in the day, it was about 5 o'clock and most everybody was gone. And the Lord just really blew me away with his love. I was running a machine, and I was there in tears. And he was just laying his love on me so much that it was just unbelievable, just overwhelming. And there is a Christian rock and roll artist named Todd Agnew, and he has a song named Unchanging One. And part of this chorus just kept going through my mind over and over as the Lord was just laying his love on me, and he was really speaking to me. This chorus is, you know, when I wake, when I rise, when I pray, when I curse you, and you love me the same. And you know, when I stumble and fall, you're there through it all, the only unchanging one. And it just about brings tears back to my eyes just to read that now. But I believe here in the past, I don't know how long, months or whatever, that the Lord is trying to wean me of my self-righteousness, of my thinking that I'm not so bad, that I don't, that I know the Lord, that I may not have room to grow, You know, and through all this, the Lord was telling me that, yeah, you do, but I still love you. And so I think what the Lord is wanting me to do and talk about tonight is how much he loves you. And he does love you. And there's not one person in this room that I cannot say this to, but God does not love anything on this planet any more than he loves you, to each and every one of you. And it's really hard to keep that into perspective when we have blown it, when we've messed up, when we feel as though that, you know, he's erased, you know, our name off the board, or torn our name out of the book, or whatever. You know, he wants us to know that. He wants us to know that he loves us. Now, it's not okay that we blow it, but at the same time, he still loves us, and he loves us so much that he wants us to come to him in those times so that we can get straightened back out with him, and that we can gain that forgiveness from him. We've already got the forgiveness of sins that's going to take us to heaven, but the forgiveness is the reattaching of the relationship so that we can have that fellowship, so that he can teach us. So we're going to be in Romans 5. But before that, I'm going to read you a scripture out of John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And you think, maybe you husbands think, man, if anybody was messing with my old lady, well, I'd die for her, you know. And right now I could say that. But at the same time, I've also got to be honest. And it's possible that I could be like the disciples, that I could be like Peter. Yeah, Jesus, me and you, man, all the way to the end, even if I have to die with you. And he split. He left him. But greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And we'll talk about that a little bit in Romans. And that's really, that's true love, that he would love us so much that he's willing to do whatever it takes, anything that it takes, that we might be able to be with him, that we might be able to have that relationship with him. It's hard to believe that the Creator, when capable of all the stuff that he has created, I mean, if you really look at a flower, if you look at a lot of the things that he's created, would really want us forever with him. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he's capable of so much, and it seems that we give him so little. But to lay down one's life for his friends. In Romans 5, verse 5, says, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now let's think about that for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. If somebody's a really a good guy and has just always, you know, you just always looked up to him, someone would scarcely die for him. But what about Charles Manson? What about Jeffrey Dahmer? And the whole list of other people that we consider unlovable, people that need to be locked away forever and never come out and stay there for eternity. Just like us, Jesus Christ died for those people as well, for those guys that are just have committed the most horrendous sins. And that would be like a father and his son. And his son get in trouble. Well, okay, I'll go to jail. I'll suffer the penalty if you just let him go and let him go free. Or go up to the judge and say, let Charles Manson go free and I'll die in his place. Somebody that may never even accept the fact that you did that. That's what God did. That's what Jesus Christ did for us. That's the kind of love that I'm talking about. Just that overwhelming love that just, in my little mind, just don't compute. I mean, you know, I've got to have, you know, if somebody really treats me pretty darn good, you know, and everything, you know, pretty good old boy. But if he messes up or whatever, if he don't do the thing, just like, you know, he's not quite so good, so I'm not, you know, I'm just gonna shine him on. And that's the way that I am, you know. It's sad, but true. But God does not do that. God always loves you. And he loves Charles Manson. He loves all those people that have done those things that we think that are heinous crimes. And that's the part of my self-righteousness that I'm talking about, because I think that they're less worthy. I guess it's that I think that they are less worthy because they have created such a heinous crime or murder or whatever. And it's just really not true, because I do things also. I think things also. I curse God, you know, whenever things don't go my way. It's like, God, what are you doing? Why did you do that? Why did you allow that to happen? You know, and that's where I can get condemned. But the Lord really laid his love on me the other day and just blew me away. So let's carry on here. For scarcely will for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. While we were still sinners, 2,000 years ago, before I was born, before many of my ancestors were even born, Jesus Christ knew that I was going to be on this planet one day, and he went ahead and died for my sins. Everybody that's ever walked on the face of the earth is the sins that Jesus Christ took on himself that day on Calvary. Now, not everybody is going to accept him. Not everyone is going to make him their Lord and Savior. But he still died for those sins. Because of agape love, because of unconditional love. God did not put a condition on his love for us. He did not say, well, now if you treat me right, I'm going to love you. But if you don't, I'm not. You know, and then you're going to have to do something to make me love you again before I love you. He did not do that. And that's, and I'm so glad that God's like that and not like me. You got a lot, not like me, you know. But the whole point of tonight is just reminding you guys just how much God loves you. And he does. And he's not going to take that love away because we've done something. Now let's flip over to Romans 8. 35. I'm going to fake out you guys thinking I'm really turning over here, but I got my cheat sheet. Romans 8, 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Nothing. As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. And that's where I have trouble, is that day at work I was not really wanting to be treated as a sheep for slaughter. And I wasn't wanting to be killed all day long. And that's where I got all messed up. That's where I got sideways with God. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now that's pretty comforting when you read that. When you, when I started reading this, that really comforted me in that, on that day in question. Because this really gives me hope. I mean, this really encourages me in the Lord. It really kind of reiterates Romans 5:5 that says, now hope does not disappoint. And that is the hope in God. That's the hope that we're talking about. You might, I mean, when you... You might hope for all kinds of things in this world, and we don't necessarily get them, but we're still hoping for them. But this type of hope does not disappoint. The love of God does not disappoint because it is never going to change. It is never going to go away. It is never going to diminish. Because of the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So as God loves us, we're able to love. We're able to love him back, and we're able to love our brothers and sisters. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And I really love this. I got to read this again. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Any other created thing. There's only God and created things. So that means that none of these created things over here is going to separate us from the one and only. Now let's flip over to Ephesians 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. But God, who is rich in mercy, mercy's not getting something you deserve, and grace is getting something that you don't deserve. So on that day, God was really showing me mercy. He was not giving me what I deserved. Thank God. And it says, because of his great love with which he loved us. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Now, you don't give somebody a gift that you don't like. You don't go to your enemy, the guy that your next door neighbor that just really treats you bad, and give him a gift. I mean, usually. You always give those gifts to those people that you like and that you love and that really like you back and all that. And see, we didn't even love God, and he died for us. We didn't really love God, and he loved us anyway. He loved us in the first place. So he's going to show in the ages to come the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship. And in the Greek, that word workmanship is poema. That's where we get our word poem. So we are God's poem. And if any of you guys ever had to write a poem or try to write a poem for your wife and hide it on a piece of paper, you know, in their little drawer in there where she gets her makeup out and all that, it's not all that easy. And you work on it, and you spend time on it. And that's what God has done with us. He worked on us. He spent time on us. It gives me the idea it's his workmanship. It's not like he just threw us together and there you go. The Bible says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Not that good works is what is going to get us anywhere, but getting somewhere is what the good works were created for. Is because we have been saved now because of God's love. and he's got these things that he wants us to do. And we don't always know what that is. So we need to be ready. So now let's go to our last book here. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4. First John 4:9. That's right before 2 John. In this, the love of God was manifest toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Another example of the love that God has about sending Jesus, sending His only Son for us. Now, this word propitiation is a big, long word. In the New Testament, the word atonement really doesn't show up. Atonement is an Old Testament word that was a covering. The Hebrew word was kofar, and that's where we get our word cover. And that's what the blood of bulls and lambs actually did. It was just a covering for the sins of the Old Testament saints. Now, after Jesus came, Jesus did away with the covering. He did away with the animal sacrifices, and He began the propitiation. And that is the actual appeasing of God for our sins, the actual, you know, where the rubber meets the road, the death, the blood, everything. And it even has a more everlasting, I guess, for lack of better words, thought to it, that He is continuing to do that. He's just keeping it up, and it's just the nature of Jesus, that is, that He is continually appeasing God. He is continually being our advocate. He's continually being our Savior. It's not only just a one-time thing. He's carrying it on through for eternity. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And that's where it comes down to us, is that we need to love one another the best we can. You guys are all my brothers and sisters, and we're going to be hanging out in heaven for eternity. That's a long time. And it's really going to be a lot of fun. You know, we think that God's just going to have us sitting up there on a cloud playing a harp, you know, and that doesn't really sound like my idea of a good time. It seems like it just get old after a while. So He's got better things for us than that, than playing a harp forever and sitting on a cloud. Now, I would like to take a nap for about 50 years or something like that, but after that, I'll be ready. Now, in 1 John 4:16, it says, "And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him." And that's really where it's all at, is belief. Is we need to continually have that faith. And I know that the enemy would really love to derail our faith a lot of times. And we just need to stay strong in that. And that's where our fellowship comes in. That's where hanging out with other brothers and sisters comes in. That's where having a godly wife comes in. My wife really prays for me a lot. We read together some. She has scriptures that she comes up with that are really encouraging. And I'm really thankful for the fact that the Lord has given me a helpmate that is that way. And that's where God, when God says, don't be unequally yoked, that is what he's talking about. Don't do that, because if you're trying to follow God and you're married to somebody that's not, they're not going to be encouraging you very much. In fact, it could possibly be a discouragement. We have known and believed the love that God has for us. So in this whole evening, I want you guys to believe that, because we've read it in his word. And his word is not a lie. God does not lie. His word does not come back void. So what I'm hoping that the Holy Spirit is doing with you all right now is that he's giving you that. He's encouraging your faith. He's helping you to believe that God, that the Creator, I mean, just think of it, the Creator. You know, sometimes whenever I talk about God or think about God, I miss his wonder. And I miss just his awesomeness, just by, well, God loves me, I know that, and all. But the Creator of everything that is, I hope, is encouraging your faith to grow, that you believe more that he loves you. In 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. That Jesus, our Savior, really has saved us. That he really has cleansed us from our sins. That he really wants to have a relationship with us. He really wants to hear from us on a daily, hourly basis. I want you guys to consider that as you go through those rough days at work. Everybody has them. It seems to me like that they're getting closer together. And I wonder if it isn't just part of things coming down, you know, the birth pains that come. I really believe that time is getting short. And I think that is some of the things that's generating some of this pressure and stress and everything that we see in the workplace. Pushing to get more done, to keep all these plates spinning. You ever watch that guy on television, and he kept spinning these plates? And sometimes I just feel that way. I feel like the guy sometimes that is spinning those plates, and it just sometimes just seems overwhelming, and I just can't do it all, and I can't, and I got it. My faith has got to bring me back to the Lord for His strength. So who is he who overcomes the world? All you people. Because you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that encourages my heart. I mean, I just really had kind of a lifting of my heart as I read these verses here. And I really hope that you have had your hearts lifted. I hope that the fact that you know, and I know you guys know it, and I know you guys are probably just like me. You just need to be reminded sometimes of how much God loves you. Because He does. And when you do get in that rut, and someday we all will, remember that God loves you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would have everlasting life. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you have such great love for us. That you take such good care of us. That your mercies are new every morning. Forgive us when we forget that. When we put other things in the way, and when we allow other things to get the best of us. Keep us in that place, Lord, where we will quickly come back to you, where we will quickly seek your face and seek your heart for the strength, for that shelter that you provide. I just ask tonight, Lord, that you would take all these brothers and sisters home safely. That you would encourage their hearts. That you would pour that light of peace into their heart. That their faith may be strengthened. And then bring us all back together again next time, that we may sit and learn your word, that we might fellowship with one another. That we might learn to love you more. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. If you have any questions, please contact us at area code 316-263-3804 or check us out on the web at www.calvarychapelwichita.org.